Let's get right into the Word and get your healing, your deliverance, right while the Word is being spoken. Because the deliverance is in His Word. It's in His Word. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, Father, I thank You that You will grant with all boldness that I may speak Your Word by stretching forth Your hand to heal and to do signs and wonders and miracles by the name of Thy Holy Child Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, you notice here in verse 2, it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, let's keep your place there because we're going to come back, but let's turn over into Luke chapter 4 in the New Testament, Luke chapter 4. And what it is Jesus really quoting, you know, when Jesus was walking the earth, they didn't have the New Testament, of course. That was written later about Him, and much of it was written by Paul after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. But if you have a reference Bible, you can go down and you can see just how many quotes that Jesus made that were from the Scriptures. Because it was the Old Testament that He had. And they usually had it on scrolls back then. But He quoted so much, and so did Paul, all through the New Testament from the Old Testament Scriptures. And the Word says, as a matter of fact, that Jesus was the fulfillment of all that. And we know that there were many, many prophecies about the Lord. I don't know exactly how many. I've heard over 300. I've heard different numbers. I've heard over 500. I've heard over 1,000. But we know that the whole Word, you know, if you are born again and you have received the Spirit of the Lord, His Spirit will give you revelation. When you read the Old Testament, you'll see it's all about Jesus. From cover to cover, this book is about Jesus. From the beginning of Genesis till the end of Revelation, it's all about Jesus. And that's what our lives should be about, Jesus. Hallelujah. So Luke 4, verse 18 and 19, it's very, very similar to Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel." That's the same as good tidings. Gospel means good news or good tidings. "To the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And verse 19, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book. Now I want to point out something here. In Isaiah 61, we read, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." But you notice Jesus didn't say that. He didn't add that vengeance part. Aren't you glad? And I want to tell you today that we are in the age of grace. We are in the dispensation of grace, and we're still in the dispensation of grace. It has not changed. You know, and all these ministers that preach doom and gloom, excuse me, but my Bible says we are still in the age of grace. And yes, there's trouble in the world. And there was trouble in the world. And there has been trouble in the world ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God and fell in the garden. There's been trouble and sin in the world. But nevertheless, Jesus said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Because He is still drawing people by His Spirit. He still is desiring for the earth to be covered with His glory. And the knowledge of His glory. The knowledge of His Word. His glory comes through knowledge. You couldn't even get saved without knowledge. You couldn't get saved without hearing the knowledge, without knowing something, without knowing that Jesus paid the price for your sins. without knowing that His blood erased your sin, without knowing that He was drawing you to come to Him and to be saved, to be delivered, to live an exchanged life, to give up your life and take His life into you and begin to live His life. You couldn't get saved without knowing those things. You know? And we can't move on with God without knowing certain things. You know, as I've said before, and all of you know that are born again, you don't have to come to church to be born again. I got saved in my car. You can get saved anywhere at any time. In your home, on your couch, in your car, on the road, in the park, anywhere. You can get saved anywhere. But you cannot be strong without coming to church and hearing the Word and growing in grace and knowledge. You must grow in knowledge. And the Lord's been pointing out to me this week over and over how much knowledge is mentioned in the Word. How much He mentions the Word. You know, the boys and I have been reading Ephesians every day. Almost the whole book every day. We just decided to do that. And it mentions knowledge several times. That we may grow in the revelation knowledge of Him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. And, you know, one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, is talking about knowledge. That we obtain all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him. And it talks about the precious promises. You can't know the promises or receive the promises or walk in the promises without the knowledge of the promises. You've got to have knowledge. Well, praise the Lord. So Jesus said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and He stopped right there and He closed the book. He didn't read, and the day of vengeance of our God. Because His desire is to save the world. He died to save all mankind. You know, and that's good news. I don't like to hear bad news, do you? You know, when I hear somebody say, well, you have to be sick. You know, everybody, you get old and you get sick. That's not what the Word of God says. And we just read that. He came to heal. He came to deliver. He came to set free, and He's still here. By the power of His Spirit, He said, wherever two or more of you are gathered in My name, I will be there in the midst. And He is our healer. He is the healer. And if you start studying about healing all through the Word, you'll find scriptures, scripture upon scripture, promise upon promise about healing, about deliverance, about salvation. God is a good God. He's not a mean God. He is a good God. He's not standing up on the portal between earth and heaven with a big stick, you know, to destroy you. And God hates sin, don't get me wrong. God hates sin. And if you're saved, if you're born again, you'll hate sin too, because He puts that in you. But He loves the sinner. He loves the sinner. And we're to spread His love. You know, that reminds me about when they went into some cities, they didn't always accept Jesus, and He couldn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And then at certain times, I don't remember exactly which time, but James and John said, shall we call down fire from heaven on them? You know, they were fired up. Let's just destroy them. They didn't receive You, Lord. Let's just destroy them. And Jesus said, no. No. He said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. God is love. God is love. People destroy themselves from lack of knowledge. And from sin. You know, people, we get ourselves in trouble. But that was not God's plan from the beginning. He created the earth and the heavens and Adam and Eve, and He said, it's good. He said, it's good. It was the enemy that came in and brought destruction. And Adam and Eve's disobedience, because He gives man the free choice, the free will. And man still, every day you have choices to make. Every single day you have choices. When you wake, from the time you wake up in the morning, you need to choose whether you're going to give yourself to the Lord that day, whether you're going to present your body a living sacrifice, present your body to be used of the Lord that day, or whether you'll go your own way. You know, that's the very sin that Adam and Eve committed, was going their own way. There's destruction in your own way because you don't know things. You don't know the future. You don't know everything that there is to be known. But God does, and if you go His way, He can help you avoid situations and problems. Praise the Lord. Now let's go back to Isaiah 61. And since Jesus stopped there in verse 2 to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, we'll just stop there too. We can do what He did. And that doesn't add or subtract anything from the Scripture. But He stopped there, and we're still in that age. We can stop there, and let's skip down to comfort all that mourn. Hallelujah. He gives His Spirit to comfort those that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. You know, if your life has come to the point where you feel like it's just ashes, where you feel like nothing you've done has been worth anything, and nothing you've done has been right, where you feel like you're just a total failure, you know, and I got to the point in my life where I felt that way. And, you know, most people do, that if they haven't lived for the Lord from the time they're a child, then most people will come to the point in their life, hopefully they'll come to that point, that they'll realize that their life without the Lord is a total failure. If you've come to the point where you feel your life is just nothing but ashes, it's all broken pieces, then listen to this good news today. Let the Lord give you a fresh start. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, His mercies are new. You can repent and start over every morning. But you must repent. You must turn around. Repent means turn around. Praise the Lord. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. The Lord can make something good out of your life. He says that all things work together for good to those who love Him. So if you turn your heart to love the Lord, then things in your life that look bad will start to work for your good. If you'll begin to trust Him and set your heart on Him. You know, where your heart goes, that's where everything else will go. Where your heart is set, then your mind will follow that. I've heard it said that, well, you know, what your mind is on, that's where you'll go. But it comes from the heart of man. What's in your heart? And you can have a part in changing your heart if you give your heart to Jesus. That's your part. And then He'll take over by His Spirit and He'll change it. And He'll give you a good heart that can receive the Word and that can receive and understand the things of God, that can give you enlightenment, you know. Otherwise, the things of God just don't mean much to you. They just seem like foolishness to you. But with His Spirit, when His Spirit comes in, He changes you to the point that the things you used to do, you hate that. Don't want to do that anymore. The things you never thought you would enjoy doing, you'll find yourself enjoying that. Oh, He is so wonderful how He can change a person's life. That is the greatest miracle of all. The oil of joy for mourning. You know, it's the devil that wants to make you mourn, depressed, oppressed, sorrowful. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Spirit of heaviness. There are spirits of heaviness. Spirits of depression. Spirits of despair. Evil spirits sent from Satan to hinder your walk with the Lord. To keep you from receiving the things that God has planned for you. And we don't want that. We don't want any part of that. We want to walk in the joy, the power, the love, the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't want those spirits of heaviness. And He came to deliver us. You can be captive to those things, prisoner to those things. Your mind can be so bound up with confusion and negative thoughts and doubts and unbelief that it'll keep your spirit man from taking control, and it'll keep you from walking in the wonderful, wonderful life of God, the resurrection life and power of God. Jesus came to give us life, not death, and not things that pertain to death. He wants His people to be healthy and strong and show forth His glory. So the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Sometimes you can just start praising the Lord and it'll cause that thing to lift. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Many people's lives are wastes, wasteland, just wasted and torn down and torn apart and in pieces. And we're called to go forth and deliver people. We're called to speak the Word into people because it's the Word that will deliver them. So how can you do what the Lord wants you to do if you don't have the knowledge of His Word? Because the Word is your sword. The sword can cut away all these evil things. Cut away doubt and unbelief. Cut through all these things. It's the sword of the Word. You must have the knowledge. And praise the Lord, the ones that are under the sound of my voice, you're gaining that knowledge now as you're listening. And that is the only way that you can please the Lord, because you can't please Him without faith. And faith comes by hearing the Word. And you know the devil will do everything he can to try to stop you from hearing the Word. He'll try to keep you out of church. He'll try to make other things come up. He'll try to keep you from listening to Christian television, radio tapes, reading Christian books, reading the Word, especially reading the Word. Now he'll let you, sometimes, if you're kind of determined, he'll let you do all kinds of good works for people. He'll let you go visit the sick. He'll let you go feed the hungry and clothe the naked. But as long as you don't try to get in the Word, then He'll try to come against you. And it's good to do those things. Don't get me wrong. The Lord wants us to do good works. But first place is His Word. Or all the rest is useless. You know, if you don't have that inside you, that Word inside you, then all the rest is useless. Because, you know, remember the scripture Jesus said, that they said, didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? They did the works in the name of Jesus, because there's power in the name of Jesus. But he said, you know, they said, didn't we do many wonderful works? And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And the only way you can know the Lord is through His Word. If, you know, the Spirit has nothing to work with in you if you don't put the Word inside you. Give the Word first place, and that is honoring the Lord. And then you'll begin to walk in that power and that anointing. Because, you know, if you go visit the sick, you're not going to have anything for them if you don't have the Word in there. You might just, you know, have a nice smile, but you're not going to be able to deliver them. You're not going to have any power without the Word. We must have the Word. We must have knowledge. Now let's turn to Isaiah 60. As I was talking about earlier, how Jesus talked about to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it is still the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. Now is the accepted time. Don't wait. Don't wait. You don't have any idea. If you don't know the Lord, you don't have any idea what you're missing. If you wait, you have no idea. Because you cannot discern the things of God without the Spirit of God. Don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And for those that do believe, now is the accepted time to rise up, to walk in power, to rise up to new levels and new heights in the Lord. Oh, we want to do that. We want to walk in victory. We don't want to be defeated by the enemy and kept from helping people the way that we could if we were walking in victory. We don't want to be defeated. We want to walk on the devil. We want to walk on him. We want to bruise his head. Now, Jesus did that. He was the forerunner. He did that for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. We want to bruise his head and put him out. The Bible says that the Son of God was manifest for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And we ought to be about our Father's business, going about destroying the works of the devil. And when you proclaim healing to people, when you proclaim salvation to people, when you proclaim deliverance to people, you're destroying the works of the devil. And you're bringing his glory to the earth. That's what he wants, his glory, to cover the earth. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. He wants his glory to shine through us. He wants his glory to shine through his people. And that's all people. If you're not his, one of his people, you can be one of his people. You can be his child by repenting, and then he will come in by his Spirit and he'll give you power. He'll give you power over the things that you repented of. He will do it. You don't have to say, well, when I get perfect, or when I, you know, get rid of this sin in my life, then I'll come to Jesus. No, 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 no. If you could have gotten rid of it yourself, you would have done so a long time ago. You know, because you don't really enjoy that. Your flesh may, but you don't really enjoy that in your heart. You want to be delivered. You want to be delivered. Your heart is to be delivered, or you wouldn't be listening to me right now. Your heart is to be delivered. You want to be delivered. So don't wait thinking that you can take care of it. You know, that's the pride of man. Just come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. And his Spirit will help you. His Spirit will change you. Hallelujah. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Not will come, is come. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Not will be, is. It's in Jesus. All you need is in Jesus. And your light is come. Your light is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. Woo! The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Those that love the Lord, you can see how they shine. You can see how they shine. And I just love to be around them. Hallelujah. Now, if we don't let the light shine, if we don't let his glory shine, then they won't come. And Jesus won't be lifted up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Yes, we see that. We see that that is true. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. The Lord shall arise upon thee. That's his glory, his light. And his glory shall be seen upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon his people. Now we need to come on into that. We need to walk on into that. We need to arise. Some of his people are confused. They don't know what they're about. They haven't heard all the truth. They don't know they're supposed to be walking in power. They think it might be just for a very few. No, no. No. Those who believe, these signs shall follow those who believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Those who believe, not just the preachers, not just the evangelists, not just the prophets, not just the apostles, not just the teachers, but you. You. The Lord wants these signs to follow you, but you've got to grow into it through knowledge of the Word. You know, if you're hungry for physical food, and you go out to the restaurant where they have a buffet, I like to do that, where they've got all these different choices. You go out to a restaurant, and there's all this good food, and you fix yourself a big plate and you begin to eat, if you put that food in your mouth and you chew it up and then you begin to spit it out after you've chewed it up, it won't do you one bit of good. You won't get any benefit from that food, even though you took the food into your mouth. Now, the things of the Word of God, it's exactly the same in the spirit realm. It's not enough just to hear and then go on about your business and then go in one ear and out the other. You need to meditate on the Word. As you hear it, take it in and say, "Oh, Lord, I want that. Oh, yes, I want that." When you hear something good, "Oh, yes, Lord, I want to walk in that. Help me walk in that." That's meditating on the Word.